Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of barren women, a home, like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. I have just read to you Psalms 113, verses 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hello, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to another edition of Walking in the Light Ministry. My name is Pastor Herbert Graham, and I am excited about what God is doing here in Walking in the Light Ministry. I am happy that you have taken time out of your schedule to listen in to the broadcast on this day. And I thank you for listening in. Truly, God is good, and all the time, God is good. And I just like to say this on this day, that when God the Father instructs the Holy Spirit to give us messages, it's a blessing when that happens. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The message runs down through that channel. And I thank him on this day for what he's about to do. But before we get into this message on today, I would just like to open up in a brief word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you are worthy of all honor, all praise, and all glory. You alone is our God, and you alone is the one that we look up to, for you are our Father who art in heaven. And we want to thank you on this day for revealing to us your truths. We want to thank you for your understanding, your wisdom, and your knowledge. We thank you for your son coming to die on Calvary's cross for our sins and shortcomings. And right now, Lord, we ask you to forgive us of all sins and shortcomings in Jesus Christ. And on the third day, you raised Jesus from the dead. And we want to thank you, Father. And filling us with your precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. You are welcome to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Father, we thank you now, and we ask that you open up the eyes of your people as they study this lesson and the lessons to follow after these. Give them understanding. Give them a heart to receive. And give them ears to hear. And we thank you now. And right now, we want to serve notice to Satan and his demons. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Every evil deed, every evil work, every evil assignment, right now, we cancel it now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone listening under the sound of my voice right now. Whatever they're going through in their life right now, Lord, we thank you right now for seeing about your people. And we claim the victory now in Jesus Christ's name. And we thank you now, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. We believe we receive in Jesus' name. Beloved brothers and sisters, if you have your Bibles with you on this day, I'm going to ask you to look over with me into the book of John. The Gospel of John, we're going to be looking at the 15th chapter. The Gospel of John, that's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I would say that the Lord has placed upon my heart to travel in this direction, to travel in this area. So over the next however long the Lord wants us to stay here, we're going to stay here because I believe that what we are about to experience, the road that we are about to walk down, is very important to the believer and also most important to the new converts that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and has asked him to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And this is very important to the body of Christ because I believe there are many today that's in the body of Christ who do not or may have very little knowledge of who the Holy Spirit really is. You ask some believers today about the Holy Spirit, they can't even answer you who he is and how he operates in their lives. And for us to be children of the Most High God, and we do not know how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit operates in our life, we're in a very bad spot, beloved. We in a very bad spot. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture where the Bible said, that God said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And I think that as we move forward and we begin to see what the Father is sharing with us from his heart to our heart, what he wants us to know about him, this is very, very, very important. So I'm going to say to you on this day, get your pencil, get your paper, and get ready to write down scriptures. And you may have to go back and listen to this message more than one time. It will be there at Walking in the Light Ministry for your listening. Is how many times you desire to listen to it. But I guarantee you one thing, if you listen to this and if you listen to the scriptures that we'll be giving in these lessons, this will open up your understanding to a new knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is and how he operates in our life. So with that being said, we're going to look at John, the chapter 15, and we're going to look at the 26th verse. Jesus is talking here, and he says, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And I'm going to stop right there. Jesus is telling us that he's going to send a helper that will come to us from the Father. That's going to come from the Father. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit of God. And beloved, over the next However long the Lord has us here, I'm going to share it until he tells me to stop. So we're going to be doing messages about how well do you know the Holy Spirit? And this message is titled, How Well Do You Know the Holy Spirit, Part 1. And I know that these messages will be a blessing to you as you take in your own private Bible study time to get along with the Lord and reevaluate these scriptures that will be given to you throughout these lessons. You know, the miraculous works of the Holy Spirit have been in operation since creation, when God commanded, let there be light. His creative presence is the avenue of God's creative power. The Holy Spirit is present as the avenue of redemptive gifts and power. And many have no clue of what the Holy Spirit assignment is or even how his power operates. And as I was praying in the Holy Spirit this week and seeking the Lord, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, teach them about me. See, because when you know who the Holy Spirit is, you're giving glory to the Son and to the Father. See, the Father, the Son, the Father God Almighty, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they are one, but yet they are three. And we're going to be sharing information with you. I pray that would enlighten you and empower you to do the work that he's compelling you to do in these last days that we're living in. So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God and is one of the furthermost truths of redemption. Therefore, the believer should seek to know all he can of the person, ministry, and work of the Holy Spirit as revealed in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, relative to both creation and redemption. The Holy Spirit is seen in operation in the midst of chaotic conditions, seen in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. We see the Spirit of God moving. And I quote, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The final mention of the Holy Spirit is seen in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, where, and I quote, the Spirit and the bride says, come. Between these two verses, the beginning and consummation of the Spirit works, we have a vast amount of biblical revelation of the Holy Spirit's ministry. The Holy Spirit is mentioned more than 90 times in the Old Testament, with at least 18 different titles also given. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is mentioned more than 260 times, along with 39 different names and titles. Out of the 27 books of the New Testament, only 2 John and 3 John have no reference to the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament, foretold the coming of the last days, when the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh, in contrast to Old Testament times, when the Holy Spirit was only available to a select few in Israel. In God's plan, this present age has been given over to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This time that you and I are living in has been given over to the Holy Spirit. So you and I, beloved, should be being led by the Holy Spirit, because he's the one in the earth now that is in control. And he's the one that is teaching us, guiding us, protecting us, providing for us, empowering us to do what the Father will is for our lives. See, we shouldn't be looking to man to empower us, but we should be looking to the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be looking to money to empower us. We shouldn't be looking to fame, popularity, to empower us. But we should be looking to the Holy Spirit with a humble heart and a contrite spirit. These facts emphasize the importance of the believer coming to know and understanding and appreciate and experience the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. In this life, it is the Spirit who brings to the heart the revelation of the Father and the Son. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 26. It is fear, formalism, and ignorance which rob the church from studying the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and thus making room for his blessed ministration. The Holy Spirit wants to bless us. The Holy Spirit wants to give us gifts. The Holy wants to empower us. The Holy Spirit, he has a personality. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. Spirit is not to be looked upon merely as an influence. Many believers are robbed of a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit because they consider the Holy Spirit to be an impersonal influence, power, or energy. It is true that the Holy Spirit does influence the life of the believer, and he is revealed as the power of God. But this influence is a personal. There are several reasons why this misunderstanding has arisen. One of the reasons why this misinformation has been risen like it is, the Holy Spirit is spoken of as being the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, the Greek word is phneuma, means breath or wind, which implies the concept of an unseen force. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 7. And John chapter 3 verses 5 through 8. The Holy Spirit is symbolized as being wind, water, fire,
oil a seal or other impersonal object. This seemed to negate the fact that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. However, there are many symbols relative to the Son of God also, such as a lamb, a rock, and a lion. Yet these things do not negate the Son being a divine person. Neither do the symbols of the Holy Spirit negate his personality. The Holy Spirit work seems to be so mystical, secret, and invisible. This does not, however, deny personality of the Holy Spirit, for God is a spirit, John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us. Yet, a real divine person. The Holy Spirit as a divine title seems harder for believers to relate to than the titles Father and Son, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. No doubt this is because these titles have a much more human feeling about them than the Holy Spirit. But this does not deny the personality of the Holy Spirit. Evil spirits are real personalities, and their work is evident everywhere. Angels are also spirit beings, yet real personalities. Man is a spirit being with soul and body, a real person having corporality. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Thus the Holy Spirit is a real person through invisible and incorporeal. The Holy Spirit is real. He is a real person. That's the first thing that a believer has to understand, that the Holy Spirit is a real person. There are also several reasons why the believer should not consider the Holy Spirit as merely influence or impersonal or an impersonal force. Don't look at the Holy Spirit as just being an influencer or a impersonal force. Don't look at him in that way. See him as a person. You know, it's funny how we can understand and see our brethren or our sisters as a person. But when it comes down to the Holy Spirit, we have a hard time seeing him as a person, because our intellect wants to see a shape or a form. See, we want to identify what we're looking at or what we're meditating on or what we're thinking about. We want to identify it, when in fact, the Holy Spirit is invisible like the air that we breathe or the wind that we feel. The Bible shows us that the Holy Spirit to be a divine person. It will hinder our worship if we look at him in any other way. See, true worship is a personal activity, a means of personal relationship. Just like the husband have a personal relationship with his wife, or just like a father have a personal relationship with his son or daughter, or a mother having a personal relationship with their son or daughter in the form of a mother to a child. or father to a child, or a husband to a wife, and a wife to a husband. Just like we have personal relationships with people we call our friends, our co-workers, our associates. Just like we have relationship with these people that's around us, or we shall we say in our circle, people that's closest to us, we too must have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. That means you and I cannot neglect who he is in our life. It will hinder proper reverence to speak of the Holy Spirit as an it. Have you ever heard someone call the Holy Spirit an it? It is improper to do that. He's not an it. The Authorized Version in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and verse 26 does not speak of the Spirit in this way. It does not. The Bible does not speak of the Holy Spirit in this way. Other translated, corrected this. In the teachings of Jesus in John's Gospel, he used personal pronouns over 10 times concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Not understanding the personality of the Holy Spirit can cause people to look on the Holy Spirit as something like and want to purchase it, even as did Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 24. And beloved, I'm giving you these scriptures so you can write them down and you can go back and study the movement and the activity of the Holy Spirit and how people in the Bible reacted to the Holy Spirit, whether positive or negative. If we look at him as an it, it's going to hinder our relationship. God desires to have a personal relationship with each one of us. Thus, God himself comes and lives within us through the person of the Holy Spirit. It would be impossible to have any relationship with an impersonal force. We must know the Spirit as our friend, helper, comforter, and indweller. In this way, we can honor him. The believer has more than an influence living within him. He has the person of the Holy Spirit. He's inside. He's a real person. And he's just waiting on you to listen to him. You have the perfect one living on the inside of you. And if he's perfect, and if you're listening to him, he's going to lead you in a perfect way. A perfect way. That's the only way he knows how. Whatever the situation may be, whatever you may be going through, wherever life may be taking you, if you listen to him, he will lead you in the perfect way. He's not going to give you three steps over here and one step over there and it equals up to four. He's going to lead you to the four. He's going to lead you directly to it. If you listen to him. See, some of us have to bump our head over here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times before we get it over here on the right side. Some of us have to, and I'm using this analogy for a reason, some of us have to bump our head and go around the mulberry bush. We used to sing that song when we was little kids, here we go around the mulberry bush all the day long. We keep going around and around and around in a circle. You keep finding yourself back at the same spot where you started from before because you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to teach you the way that you should go. You have not allowed him to let him guide you and lead you into all truth. For some of us, we don't see him as a real person. But he is one who is perfect. That's living on the inside of you. And the scriptures reveal him as a real person. The Holy Spirit is revealed in the scriptures to be the third person in the eternal Godhead. This title is often associated with the person of the Father and the person of the Son. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8. It would be meaningless. You hear that, beloved? To reveal these scriptures and see the Father and the Son as persons associated with an influence, i.e. the personal Holy Spirit. Personality does not demand corporeality in God as in mankind. The Holy Spirit is also revealed as personal pronoun. Although the word spirit, the neutral gender, the Lord Jesus used personal pronouns when he spoke of the Holy Spirit. The pronouns like he, him, and himself are used a number of times in John's Gospel when speaking of the Spirit. These pronouns are in the masculine gender, John chapter 14 and verse 15, verse 16 and verse 26, and John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14, and John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. It speaks of a masculine person, he. And beloved, that's what we have to understand about the Holy Spirit. He is a real person. He is one that you can count on no matter what you're going through. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as having personal qualities. The three main qualities which constitute personality are attributed to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has, and hear this, beloved, a mind, Romans 8 and verse 27, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 13. The Holy Spirit has a will in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. And the Holy Spirit has emotions, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 8. These things are incapable to an impersonal influence or power. And beloved, we're going to pause right there because this is very important to the believer. And we want you to go back and study those scriptures that I gave you. And look at the movement of the Holy Spirit. And as you study those scriptures, you're going to begin to see the Holy Spirit begin to grant unto you a very special kind of wisdom. Wisdom to know him better. Wisdom to communicate with him better. In your own private Bible study time, study those, what we have just talked about in part one, those scriptures in part one of how well do you know the Holy Spirit. Study those. Excuse me. And as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us moving forward, he's going to reveal more and more to you to empower you, to trust him, to see him work in these last days we are living, to get to know him better. He's going to reveal to you some things about the Son, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that you have yet to discover. He's going to reveal to you some things about the Father, God Almighty, that you have yet. Beloved, we'll be right back here next Saturday at 7 p.m., the Walking in the Light Ministry. Join me as we move forward in how well do you know the Holy Spirit. Part two. Love, go in peace, and may God richly bless.